Love where you live. We are Radio Newark.
Hey, 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 Kevin Guthrie here talking all things mental health and well-being. Thank you so much for listening to another one of our podcasts. So remember, these podcasts are for you. Remember, we do them because we want to break down the stigma between mental health and the way people think about it. We want people to talk about it more. We want people to engage in it more. We want people to be happier. My name is Kevin Guthrie. I am a local psychotherapist. The reason I do this is because I literally want people to be more peaceful. We have a guest in the studio. We have the wonderful James Brinkett-Smith. Welcome, James.
Hello, good morning.
Thank you for being here. Not your first time on Radio Newark, is it?
No, I'm normally in the other studio, chit-chatting away in the sports on the sports programme.
Excellent. James, just so people know who you are, could you give us a little bit of background as to what you do?
Well, I'm currently a British champion powerlifter.
Wow.
It's not bad, is it?
It sounds pretty impressive.
A couple of weeks ago, I won my sixth British title in the Masters 1 super heavyweight category.
Congrats.
Thank you very much. And I travel the world representing Great Britain on the international powerlifting stage.
That's amazing. Mm. And why were you interested in taking part in one of these podcasts? What was your reason for that?
Well, I came to powerlifting because I actually basically wasn't very well. I'd left the army. I did 12 years in the army, started off in the Air Force, moved across to the army. And after leaving the army, I was struggling, really struggling to adapt to civilian life, as it's known as, but more struggling to adapt to not having my army family around me.
Yeah.
And ended up a little bit alcohol dependent and was gaining weight like you wouldn't believe. Mm-hmm. Food, alcohol, looking for something to fill the gap.
Yeah.
And sat on the television watching World's Strongest Man one year, and I thought, well, in the new year, I'm going to give this a go. My marriage had just broken down, and I thought I really do need to sort myself out. I've been diagnosed as clinically depressed, and in the new year, I went to the gym, mm-hmm. saw a wonderful fella called Ollie Driver at Code Fitness,
yep.
and said, this is what I want to do. I had an interview with one of the owners, Steve, and he says, what are your goals? I said, I want to be able to bench press 70 kilos and I want to be able to deadlift 200. So, and that's good. And that's what I said to him. That's what I want to do. And then I met Ollie and then I started my lifting journey. And from then, I've never really looked back, which has worked really well.
So you mentioned then filling the gap. How long did it, and it's a phrase that we use often, particularly with dependency. How long did it take you to realise that there was a gap, that something was missing?
Around about, I'd probably say 6 or 7 years.
Right, okay. That's quite a while, isn't it,
to live? A feeling a bit lost.
Yeah.
Lost in life completely.
So you left the forces.
Yep.
And then you're saying it took like 6 or 7 years to then
realise that I needed something that was going to make me feel good about myself.
Yeah, absolutely. I always think that leaving the forces is such a huge shift for people, and I'm not entirely sure. I'm sure that there are some people that kind of negotiate that without any issues whatsoever, but I'm guessing there are a lot of people that go through that don't negotiate it well.
There are, yeah, and it brings in a lot of mental health issues.
Yeah.
That the armed forces can't help any more with than they already do.
Yeah.
They're fantastic. You see so much on social media, especially being, I would say at times, a toxic environment to be immersed in. Given, all these soldiers, they're doing this, they're doing that, and the army aren't doing enough for them. Well, I can categorically say when I left the army, they did everything they could to help me readjust.
Yeah.
With settlement grants, training courses, and everything. They tried to set me up to be what I wanted to be. Luckily for me, I had a career to go to. But I see people leaving the army, and they try their best to help them out to make sure that when they go into life as a civilian, they are set up with a job, which then gives them something to do.
So what part do you think is potentially missing? So this is not to diss the army. This is to look at it practically and go to anybody that's listening and go, which part do you think was missing?
I don't think the army can do anymore. I don't think the army have anything that is missing. I do think they do everything they can to put you where you need to be,
yeah,
and help you where you need to be. But what the army can't legislate for and can't change is the individuality of the person.
Yeah.
And so you leave, and some people are quite happy leaving and leaving all their friends behind and doing everything that they used to do.
Yeah.
And they're quite happy to have that space. But it's the family that you lose. It's more like a bereavement, really.
Yeah.
Than anything else. And the army can't help you grieve.
No.
Leaving the army. But I think just trying to find something to do once you leave.
Yeah.
And make it more accessible. Make people know. And then we're living in a very important time at the minute with mental health.
Yeah.
Especially for men.
Yeah.
In that it is becoming acceptable for men to say, buddy, I really don't feel well.
Yeah.
And then that old adage of ask your friend how they are, but then ask them again.
Yeah.
Because then you're really going to find out how they are.
Yeah.
How are you doing? Yeah, I'm all right, mate. But no, how are you doing?
Yeah.
And then they might tell you.
Well, I also think that sometimes people miss the signs. And I did a little campaign before Christmas just because I knew it was a dark period for a lot of people. And I did this campaign. It was about human connection. And what I was encouraging people to do was to really connect, to really look at somebody and say, how are you doing? And watch for signs, because there will be signs everywhere. And, you know, they could be signs that they're really happy. All of a sudden, their mood is elevated, and I'm like, whoa, something shifted there. What's occurring?
Yeah.
It's not necessarily a good thing.
Have you found a quick fix? And is that going to be worthy for you in the long term? Is that going to be of any worth for you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or are we just sticking a Band-Aid on something that really is deeper that we need to look at?
Yeah. What do you think it is about, staying with the subject of men, what do you think it is about men? Why do you think that we suffer more with mental health? And I say that with the statistics of way more men commit suicide than females. That has been the case for as far as we can remember.
Without a doubt. I think it's down to one basic thing, is that men do not talk.
Yeah.
As I imagine, I can't identify with it not being a female, but I can imagine that girls talk to each other when they're not feeling great. They'll talk to their friend when they're not feeling great.
Yeah.
But I think as a man, we've got this bravado, especially coming from the background where I've come from, of being surrounded, although I wasn't an actual active soldier, I was a military musician.
Yeah.
Although surrounded by other people in that exact role, where you've got to have that bravado and you've got to be able to crack on.
Yeah.
And how many times did you hear as a child, oh, just get a grip, man, you'll be fine. But that's indoctrined into the psychology of men.
Yeah.
In that we do feel, as hunter-gatherers, we need to go out and we need to do it.
Yeah.
And the women sit at home and light the fire while we bring the lion back.
Yeah.
And I think that's the general feeling of men.
Yeah.
That we do need to get on with it because we need to be the stronger person.
Yeah. I mean, what you're tapping into there, just to clarify for anybody listening, is we're talking about our absolute basic instincts as humans. And if we go back to way back when, men did go out and gather food, women did stay at home and have babies and kind of build the troop, so to speak. We live in a very different world now, but those instincts are still there. They're still around hundreds and hundreds of years later. Yeah. That's our baseline instincts.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, we live in an era now where equality is certainly there. And I do. A very good friend of mine does class me as a secret feminist. But, you know, that's that instinct of the hunter-gatherer man is still going to be there.
Absolutely.
And it's the alpha male persona, in that you can't go to the pub and tell your mate that you don't feel well because you're seen as weak.
Yeah.
And I think that is probably why, that's probably the main reason why men do not talk about these things.
I completely agree. I said on a previous podcast that women in general, this is a massive generalization, please don't shoot me down for doing this, women in general talk more, they just do. And I think it's brilliant. I think it's really good that they do.
And they feel safer.
Yeah. Yeah, whereas men just don't. So therefore, women have this ability to express and get stuff off their chest, which will reduce their anxiety and their depression, because they're offloading quite a lot, and they'll talk to their friends, whereas
the problem
men
shared don't. Is halved.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. It's like it's in a female's culture to do that, but it's not in a man's culture because we've been taught, as you said earlier, not to do that, just to get on with it. And interestingly, we have the same emotions as women do, yet somehow culturally that piece of information has got lost entirely. It's exactly the same.
Don't feel allowed to be able to do with it.
Yeah,
I think probably touching on women talking to each other about it, you get a certain amount of women do gather by talking about it. They get a bit of validation.
Yeah,
a validation of their feelings, of their fears, of their worries, of their how they are. But I think there's the risk of a man to be able to speak out, to not get that validation, to not be able to told, oh, that's a bit not very good, mate.
Yeah.
And I sort of see how you feel, rather than it will be a lot for a lot of men. It will probably be brushed under the carpet.
Yeah.
So they suffer in silence.
Yeah, absolutely. We talked before we went on air, and you were talking about the why. Explain what your why is. What you mean by your why?
Well, as I said earlier, I did spend about 5 or 6, 7 years feeling lost and not knowing what to do, and because I had lost my purpose.
Yeah.
Potentially. So it's call it a purpose. I was a British Army musician. I was trooping the colour on Horse Guards Parade, and that was me. I stood outside Buckingham Palace wearing my red tunic and my great big furry hat.
Nice.
Having thousands of tourists taking photos of me, and that was my identity.
Yeah.
I was a Grenadier Guards musician, and that was my identity, and that gave me my self-worth. And when I moved out of that, I say lost it because I did feel I did lose it because I left. Albeit I left of my own accord, you still lose it. If when you walk away from something, there's still a sense of loss.
Which is a form of grief.
Hmm. So when that gets taken away from you, albeit upon your own accord, then I did spend a lot of time feeling a little bit lost.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't until then I decided that, you do need to find something that is going to make you tick.
Yeah.
And that when you lose that sense of loss. So by finding your why, is why do you do this? Why does that make you happy?
Yeah.
And it's a generalisation to find your why, and I know there are countless publications to that effect, but it is about finding your purpose and finding something that makes you feel back that self-worth that you had originally.
Yeah.
When you hark back. Because I don't believe anybody all of a sudden, nobody's born with mental health problems.
No.
Nobody's born feeling ill. Mentally,
no.
We develop that over a period of time, and we look back to a time when we were happy or in a happier state, and we can identify, well, that's what made me happy then, but times change, and we all evolve, we all change as people, our lives change, and everything we grow. That we do, with relationships, with families, with everything else, we change as people, our circumstances change, but it doesn't mean to say that you cannot find self-worth by doing something different, and finding that, because it's not going to just jump out at you. That's the only thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And that for some people, the why comes away from work. For a lucky few, and I include myself in this, the why can be the work that you do. But for a lot of people, it isn't. It just isn't. So the why has to be something in addition to.
Yes. Yeah.
So your why was, you touched it earlier.
My lifting.
Yeah, your lifting. That was the one that you found.
Yeah, because I found that gave me purpose. That gave me from a military background, that gave me a regimented regime.
Yeah.
Which I needed to go by, and I train 5 days a week.
Yeah.
And I need to hit those numbers, and I need to do X, Y, and Z, and I'm told what I have to do.
Yeah.
And for that, I find that quite satisfying.
Yeah. Because that's what you're used to, and that's why you were in the forces for so long.
Yeah. And that really works for me.
Yeah.
And between that, I've now found a new family.
Yeah,
who are around me.
Yeah,
who do give me what I need.
Yeah,
but also because that extra family that I have, that then buoys me to be able to maintain my own family.
Yeah.
In a better manner, because at the time when I wasn't very well, I wasn't maintaining my family.
Yeah,
and the people around you just
purpose is so important for a lot of people, and sometimes. I'll start working with clients and I look at them and go, what's your purpose? And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, what's your purpose? What's your why? And they're like, well, I don't know. I'm like, You need a purpose. There is no, there's no real direct reason to get up in the morning, apart from going to work, because you have to, because you have to get that paycheck and pay the mortgage. But some, it's just not enough.
Yeah. I've recently had to recruit for my business. Mm-hmm. We needed some new staff. And on the advert, I've wrote for them to come and tell me what makes them passionate about life. So that you can come and, yes, come and work for me. If you're suitable for our business, we would love to have you on board.
Yeah.
But in your interview process, I want you to tell me what makes you passionate, what makes you tick.
Nice question.
And we'll talk about it when you come in. And that was, that's my first question. What do you want to do? What makes you passionate, and what are you passionate about?
So for you, why was that an important question?
Because everybody needs to have a why, and everybody needs to have a purpose.
Yeah.
Because when I'm employing someone to come and work in my warehouse, I don't believe that is their purpose in life for them. I don't think that's going to be, it may be fulfilling enough for them at that particular time.
Yeah.
But we all need something outside of that. And I think we all need, like you said, some people are very lucky to be able to be really happy in their place of work.
Yeah.
But everybody needs something that does make them tick.
Yeah.
And it's not always going to be your place of work. And when you just, when you're just starting in a new environment, in a new job, that new job, as exciting as it is, fantastic, I got myself a new job. This says, you know, there's going to be progression forward, they can do this and that and the other. But at that particular point, you're going to go to work for 7 o'clock in the morning, you're going to leave at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then that's it. So what else? What else is going to maintain you to be able to be well enough to be able to give your all to your job, which is going to pay for everything else that you need to do in life?
Mentally well enough.
Yeah.
Mentally well enough. You said something earlier that I just wanted to pick up on about we are not born with mental health issues. Just to clarify, we can be born with certain things that can, let's say, just affect our mental health. We know now there's a thing called epigenetics. And with epigenetics, we can be born with, they call it like it's like a genetic tag. It's usually to do with trauma. The example they use quite a lot is the Holocaust, and we now know that epigenetics can be passed down like 5, 6, 7, 8 generations, so the person can still feel parts of the original trauma that happened all of those generations ago. It's really powerful, and it's a great piece of learning that we've discovered. Wow. But it can be there, and what it does is it kind of sits in the body, but it affects us. It just does affect. If I look at my family history, I have a terrible family history of depression and mental health. It is, if I go back, good grief, it's horrendous. And then I look at myself and go, oh yeah, I get it. Now I understand it. Right. And then I can start making advances and changes, because I'm like, I don't want to be like that any longer. So yeah, we can be born with.
Predisposed.
Pardon?
Sort of predisposed.
Yeah, yeah. Most of it, I have to say, is about what we learn as we're growing up. And a lot of it, for me, is about the labels that are attached to us as we grow up, particularly as men, given that we're talking about men and all the labels that are stuck on men. You must be this, 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 and this. And you must grow up here.
It really battles the nature or nurture debate as well.
Yeah.
Massively.
Absolutely. And all of that, I always say about that, we invented all of that. We invented the gender roles. Yeah, there was a caveman time when man had to go out and kind of gather food, and women had to give birth to babies, because that's what we were kind of born to do. Men can't have babies. But all of the rest we invented on top of that.
Mm.
And all of the kind of the masculinity that went with that, we invented a lot of it. So I always think that we exasperated it to a point where it became really unhealthy.
And that doesn't help the women of the world either.
No.
Because, you know, there are so many talented women that can give so much more, but they are finding it hard to do so because of the barriers that typecast put in the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I have a saying that, for that, especially employment and everything else, and saying, oh, isn't she doing well? Isn't he doing well? And I'd rather say, aren't they doing well?
Yeah.
Because to me, if I see someone being successful, I really don't care what sex they are.
Yeah.
I really don't. I just look at them and go, well, you're doing really well.
Yeah. I try to remove the him and her as much as I can, because what I want to do is see humans, just human people living a human experience. Yeah. And I know that sounds very kind of like a fantasy to live in a world like that, but why can't we live in a world where we are just people? Why does it have to be him and her?
Mm.
I just it feels sometimes unhealthy to kind of live in a world that is very divided into him and her.
For job, for especially for roles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Because again, it's a barrier. It's like a woman going, "Well, I'm going to be a lorry driver," and then a man going, "You can't be a lorry driver." Well, of course you can. Why can't you be a lorry driver? She wants to, if that's what she wants to do, that's what she can do. She has all the skills to do it.
Long distance, Clara did it on Pigeon Street some time ago.
Yeah,
so it's doable.
I have a friend that's a Arctic lorry driver, and she loves it. We have many
that come into our yard, and majority of them are actually a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
Really are.
It's quite nice to see that movement. It's quite nice to see some of the gender roles being broken down. You mentioned a book earlier.
I did.
Tell us about the book.
Will it make the boat go faster?
I love that phrase. Explain the phrase to the listener.
Well, for the background of the book, it was an Olympic rower. And the book goes on about everything that he does in his life. So, will this make the boat go faster?
Yeah.
The phrase to me means that will doing this help me do the other?
Yeah.
So with where my lifting's concerned, will going out and having a skin full of beer help my lifting? Just to put it in some basic.
Good example.
Yeah. So I train on a Sunday. Will going and having a pint with my lunch on a Sunday help my lifting in the evening? Will that make my boat go faster? And the answer is no.
Yeah.
So I won't go and have a drink at lunchtime.
Yeah,
I actually get told off last week by a very good friend of mine. I have a couple of pints two or three times a week, and that's all it is now. It's very controlled. And I spoke to a very good friend of mine, Jonah Leo. He's 4 times world bench press champion.
Yeah,
the bloke is an absolute monster, but the kindest giant you've ever hoped to meet. And he says to me, "James, you really need to stop drinking." I said, "But Jonah, it's only a couple of pints every now and then, two or three times a week." And he says, "Well, how badly do you want to win? Occasionally?"
Ooh.
Oh, and that did burn. That really did. And then with that is, well, will it make my boat go faster?
Yeah.
Will going to the pub make my boat go faster? Yes, it will on one level, because it's a chance for me to talk to like-minded men and we have a chat.
Yeah.
And we can sit and talk about whatever we want to talk about. But having the beer while I'm there isn't going to make my boat go faster. So I might have a cup of coffee and a glass of water instead.
Yeah.
But it doesn't stop me engaging in that process in the first place.
What a great attitude and what a great mindset to be able to turn it around like that. So when we look for the question, will it make the boat go faster? Basically what we're saying is, what's the goal? What's the goal? Somebody told me about the book, and before you told me about it, and I think as a team they were trying to work out, correct me if I'm wrong, how they begin to win again and how they make the boat go faster.
Yeah, because at the time they weren't winning.
Yeah,
because at the time the way that the rowing schedule team worked was the elite, the top rowers went in pairs, or fours. And all of a sudden, we've got these eight, and we're not winning.
Yeah.
Well, because we're not the top eight. So what can we do to make this go faster?
So they looked at things like boat, training, coaches, and like everything.
Lifestyle.
Yeah, everything that makes that boat go faster, and then started to delete accordingly and change it.
So it's something which you can really identify with life.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, we touched on earlier about a circle. So in life, you could put it towards my circle of friends are these people.
Yeah.
But are these people making my life, my boat, better or faster?
Yeah.
And is this situation that I'm in, is it helping me?
Yeah.
And also the life decisions that we make, is that going to help me?
Yeah.
Mentally.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's about, and it's certainly not about, if I go and earn that sort of money, I can then pay for that.
Yeah.
It's not about, if I socialise with that person, then that's really going to upset that person. No, it's about everything that you get together and your circle which you're in, is that beneficial to you as a person?
Yeah.
And the metaphor, will it make the boat go faster?
Yeah.
Will that progress you mentally and keep you well?
Are they feeding you in some way? I always think that when I look back on my life, there's been people, two particular people in it that didn't support what I was doing. In fact, would do the opposite and go, "Oh, I wouldn't do that. Oh, do you not think you're a bit old for that now?" And just statements like that. Whereas I would go, "Okay, I won't do that,"
because that puts you on the back foot, doesn't it?
Completely. Yeah. Well, I would just step up, because my self-esteem was so low at that point that I would immediately step back and not step forward. Whereas now, my partner's like, "No, do it, try it, test it,
give it a go. If it doesn't work, we'll sort it afterwards."
Yeah, completely supportive.
For now, crack on.
And it can be a really sad moment sometimes when you look at your partner and go, "Oh wow, you haven't got my back. You're not supporting me. You're not feeding me. You're not making my boat go faster." Yeah. And I have goals. That can be a really sad moment. Yeah. But
I think that was a trigger point for me to start lifting, because my marriage had broken down.
Yeah.
And I was in quite an abusive relationship mentally, with that whole "you can't do this" and my self-worth would hit rock bottom. And people do that to you, don't they? And, I'd already started. I'd tried to go to the gym only a year previous.
Yeah.
"No, you can't do that because you haven't got time. You need to be here doing this."
Yeah.
Well, where's my support in that then?
Yeah.
Where's my support in what I need to do to make us a better unit?
Yeah. It's you know, that little part there is so common in a lot of relationships. Mm-hmm. And it just is such a shame. I was listening to something on Twitter yesterday, and it was, what's his name? He played the pirate. Pirate in Pirates of the Caribbean, Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
It was a recording. I think he must have done it, and it was a recording between him and his partner, and he wanted to record how she had been talking to him. And I was fascinated by it. And again, what I want to do is remove gender roles there. Two people, in this case, she wasn't supporting him, but that could go either way.
Yeah.
It can be completely equal. So I encourage you to ask yourself, are you being supported by the people around you? Are you being supported by the closest person around you?
I did read once, I don't know how factual it is, you might be able to help me out on this. I read a study once that says you only need 7 friends. But because, or like a figure, there is a figure, a magical figure, but I did read that 7 was a magic number.
Yeah.
That you only actually need 7 real friends.
I would agree with that.
Because any more than that, but they've got to be good friends. They've got to be a really good circle that are both going to emotionally support you and have your back.
Yeah.
Because any more than that, you're not going to be able to service them.
No.
And they're not going to be able to service you.
Not at all.
One of your 7 friends could have 6 other friends. They don't even need to be on the same circle, do they?
Yeah.
But to be able to have that, and to be able to have that support of supporting each other.
Yeah.
And look at yourself as well. Sometimes we all do things, don't we?
Yeah.
And we all do take a little bit more than we maybe should do. And then, hang on a minute. What are you getting out of this?
Yeah, absolutely. That's for me, that's life. I always try to look at the bigger picture with stuff like that and go, so this week or this month, you have given me more, maybe next month. And you know, relationships are relationships, and whether it's close, intimate, personal, or whether it's friendship style, or whether it's business, they're all relationships.
Yeah. And they've got to be reciprocal
in
one way or another. Yeah. To be able to do that, I had a good word with my 14-year-old daughter only the other morning about reciprocal trading, in which I do with my business on a daily basis.
Yeah,
and she said, "Well, wow, we'll call her whatever her name was, the girl she just help out."
Yeah,
she's always asking for me to help her.
Yeah,
but when I ask her, she says she hasn't got time, and to ask the teacher.
Yeah,
and I saw that then, even at 14. She's a young schoolgirl.
Yeah.
I saw how then that wasn't very good for Ella, because she was finding that wasn't doing her self-worth any good.
Yeah.
Because I'm going out of my way for all these other people, but who's there for me?
Yeah. And what a great piece of learning at her age. Because what can happen with that is, and I'm not saying this is the case with Ella, but what can happen is if we have low self-worth, then we do stuff for other people because it makes us feel better, and because we feel liked.
Oh, and then before you know it, as a young child, we're doing things we shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
Just to get self-gratification.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we think that person loves us, so therefore we will do those things.
Yeah. And again, you end up in those situations where you can just become disappointed, because all of a sudden, like Ella might be getting to the point of, you realise what is what, do you know what I mean? And what the truth, and you go, Oh, well, in that case, you've got to go.
Mm.
Bye.
Yeah.
Which is again, we go back to grief and loss, and it can be a sore point.
Yeah. And that goes back to, will that make my boat go faster?
Yeah.
Will Ella helping her friend that sits near her in biology every week?
Yeah.
And going out of the way, which on the other side of it could be jeopardising her own education.
Yeah.
Because she's taking time out to do that.
Absolutely.
To then not be have it reciprocated.
Yeah.
When she really needs the help. Because wait a minute, I might have missed that helping you out.
Yeah. We only have so much energy in any one day or any one week. We only have so much energy and some of that comes to us, some of it goes to other people because that's what we do. But make sure your balance is there.
Yeah, and don't surround yourself by people who drain you.
Yeah. There will always be times when we give quite a lot to people.
But that can be quite gratifying,
yeah,
can't it?
We've all
done that.
Yeah.
We've all done that. Well, we've gone and we've done a good deed, and that makes us feel really good about ourselves.
Yeah.
And we don't necessarily want anything back for it.
Yeah.
But what we do want is appreciation for it, and then not for to have to keep doing it over and over again.
Absolutely.
So I'm not saying that Ella said to Ella, you should not help these people out anymore, but just be mindful that...
Yeah.
Be mindful in the long term of how many times these people are going to help you out. And if it comes that the balance is really out of the way, then maybe you need to distance yourself because that's not doing either of you any good.
Awareness is key.
Mindful. I wonder where I got that one from.
I have no idea. No idea at all. You know when people struggle to find their purpose? Because I talk to a lot of people, they go, well, I don't know what my purpose is. I have no idea what it is. Do you have an insight into that? That's a difficult question.
It is a difficult question, but I can go back to my interview letter.
Yeah.
In that, what excites you?
Yeah.
What are you passionate about?
Yeah. Absolutely.
I remember I spoke to a group of teachers in Bradford once. And there was this hall, and they were talking about, and when I spoke to them about finding their why, and it was more about the children. So the reclusive child who just sits and reads a book all day and doesn't want to really interact with everyone else, they maybe not want to interact with everyone else, but that could actually be a talent that they've got.
Yeah.
The boy who's constantly picking fights in the playground might be very good as a boxer.
Yeah.
So send him down to a gym.
Yeah.
And do that.
Yeah.
But that's very generalisation and very generalising and everything else, but everyone's passionate about something.
Yeah.
I don't think... I'd worry if someone didn't have a passion for something or something that went, I might try that.
Yeah.
Well, that looks really good.
And I would encourage people to try it.
Mm. Yeah.
Just,
and it could be anything, couldn't it?
Absolutely,
anything.
Anything whatsoever. I started my career off, I think I was in a factory, and then I started working in a gym. I love working in a gym. So that was my first connection to people.
Yeah.
And I love working with people. I loved kind of passing on of knowledge.
And working in a gym, you are sort of almost a psychotherapist in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely.
It must have been a natural progression for you.
Yeah. And I guess that was my first insight into, I enjoy being with people, and I enjoy the learning that is included in that. So there was my first clue. Did I know that 20 years later I would be a psychotherapist? I had no idea whatsoever.
Yeah.
But when I look at that, that was because I had low self-esteem and I didn't think I'd ever be clever enough to be a psychotherapist.
Because you weren't empowered.
Well, because a teacher told me at one point that I was stupid.
I got told by my GCSE music teacher I would never be a musician, so I learned to back it up now.
And look at what you did.
And then I spent 12 years as a professional musician.
Yeah. You know, teachers are amazing, they do great jobs, but sometimes, back in the day, wow, they could do some damage.
Well,
I still remember my history teacher going, you're stupid, you're Guthrie, you'll never amount to anything.
And that I still remember
the moment.
I think teachers are just as, in those formative years, I think teachers can be just as important as parents.
Yeah.
In
we
how
spend
you,
a lot of time
how
at
you
school.
End up, in fact, you probably spend more time with your teachers than you do your parents at that age.
Yeah.
By the time, I mean, I was in bed by 7:30 when I got home from school.
And that's early.
Kevin, I go to bed at 6:30 twice a week, as it is. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. Nothing better than a good 12-hour sleep.
Yeah. I like
apparently that. It's really good for recovery.
Yeah.
That's what I tell Julie when I go to bed really early.
That's brilliant. James, we're at the end. We have no more time. Do you have any little gems that you would like to leave the listener with?
Don't be afraid to try.
Yes.
Don't be afraid. Don't be fearful. No.
Step into the fear.
And there's always something out there for you.
Yeah.
There really is. There is massive loads of things. But don't be fearful and don't be afraid to try.
Yeah.
If you want to go to the gym, then find somewhere where you'd feel comfortable doing it rather than going, I can't go into that place because I'm out of shape.
Yeah.
Because I was that out of shape person.
Yeah.
I still am A shape. It's rather large, but
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
I never, when I go to the gym, I see all sorts of shapes and sizes, and I'm just like, well done. Well done for being here.
Mm.
I see people jogging, and I'm like, good. Good for you for being out there.
Yeah, and really enjoy yourself. And keep an eye on at Peak Barbell, because in the coming months, we are doing an initiative of trying to help lifters. Someone who wants to have a go at lifting to try and raise their mental health. If you're not feeling great about yourself, come and have a go. But keep your eye on at Peak Barbell on Instagram.
Cool.
And we'll be releasing some details soon of a Monday evening powerlifting club.
Yeah.
A small facility out in Sutton-on-Trent where you can just come and have a go. Four or five people a week is all, so spaces are limited.
That's brilliant.
If you want to get in touch with me, have a chat.
Yeah.
And we'll see what we can help with each other.
So it was at...
At Peak Barbell.
Peak Barbell. Okay. Peak Barbell on Instagram. Drop James a message if you are interested in doing a little bit of lifting. This man knows what he's talking about. So drop him a message. My little nugget today would be test it. Somebody once said to me many years ago, just test. And for some reason, the phrase stuck with me and it sat really comfortable. I was like, yeah. Test it. If it doesn't go right, then that's fine. It was just a little test, and move it forward from there. So yeah, just test it. I like that one. James, thank you for being here today.
I would love
you to come back at some point. That was a lovely conversation around mental health and well-being, and the kind of tapping into sports as well. Thank you for listening. Remember, these podcasts are for you. If we are not covering subjects that you want to cover, then please drop us a message and tell us what you want us to cover. We do them for you. You can contact us at radionewark.co.uk. We are on iOS and Android apps. You can call the studio on 01636 678 033, or email studio@radionewark.co.uk. Please be very, very kind to yourself. Be nice to everybody around you, and try and find some peace and purpose. Take care. Bye-bye. Radio.